The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The battle between remote work and the office is heating up. New reports show that many employees are resisting efforts to bring them back on site, while businesses push for more in-person days. With some companies struggling to attract talent for full on-site roles, the future of work remains uncertain. Will remote work options stay, or are we heading back to the traditional office? Joining me now is Peter Cosgrove, MD of FutureWise. Peter, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Okay, pressure on employees to get back in the office, and they are saying no.
Yeah, they started with 3 or 4 days. Irony, companies like Zoom started asking people to come back 3 days a week. But the big one now is Amazon said 5 days a week, and a few other companies are following suit. And I think it's coming for two reasons. There's the traditional view that a lot of these old school, older male employees said, well, we used to do 5 days a week, so everyone should. And they kind of want everybody back in because they can't see that they're working. So therefore, they don't know they're working. But then there's a more considered view that people actually feel that there's less ability to build relationships, there's less ability to be creative, to actually kind of forge these kind of cultural kind of ways that companies want to do it if people aren't actually able to be seeing each other and they're all working separately.
So the employees are saying, sorry, it suits me better to be at home.
Yeah, and here's the thing. It clearly, you know, in my view, in the long, long term, hybrid and remote working will be an absolute thing. But we're still at a very early stage where the balance of power was all with the employees. So even when they were told, look, we only want you to come in 2 or 3 days a week, a lot of them were already coming in 1 day a week. So it was some frustrating employers. Employees kept saying, well, I'm much more productive at home. But I don't think employers enjoyed the fact that they didn't have any control over that. Employers are now feeling that the pendulum's moving a little bit. So in like areas like tech, where it's not as boomy as it was in the past, now Amazon are saying, well, you know, come back or don't come back. But actually this in their way, some people are arguing that this is a way for them to actually let a few people go in a very easy way, because people won't come back 5 days a week, and then they'll end up losing a little bit of their workforce without ever having to have any bad news about actually layoffs.
Now, there is something called the culture of a company, and it's hard to see how, if you've totally remote working, how even a culture is built.
Well, yeah, people say that. The interesting thing is people look at kind of birthday cakes on a Friday and, you know, drinks after work and all that as the culture. Their expressions are culture, but your culture is your mission, your vision and your values. And if you can actually harness that throughout your organization, you can do that in any way possible. Remote work companies have shown this. The companies that have worked best are the companies that started as remote only. So they never had an in-person option. So they do it very, very well. The problem we have now is we've a lot of the traditional companies with huge amounts of offices who feel like they should be using them, and they're really struggling moving to this way of working. And it is very, very difficult. But the second thing is a lot of people see the culture very much as, you know, well, if, you know, the culture is what happens when the boss leaves the room. So they're saying, well, what happens if no one is in the room? And I do think there's definitely a bigger challenge for remote than hybrid. Where you're seeing your employees sometimes every week, it's fine. But where you never see your employees, I think employers are still struggling with that. And I think rightfully so. It's a new thing for them, and it's not going to be something that happens, you know, they get used to very, very quickly. Mm-hmm.
Now, the question of employee loyalty, never mind employer loyalty to its employees, but employee loyalty to the company. If you're sitting at home in some space you've created to work and you're never in the office, much easier for churn to take place because you're scouring LinkedIn or whatever for job opportunities. You don't feel any real physical connection to the office, so you're likely to move the next dollar that drops.
Yeah, I think, you know, people can easily argue you can scour just as easily these days in work. So people used to always say, well, I don't know if people are working. Honestly, before remote working, people were doing a lot of non-work in work. But I do agree with you. There is an attachment issue. That is definitely the case. But that a lot of the time comes with your manager. But the problem with the remote working people don't see in the hybrid working is people used to meet their boss or manager 30 times a day as they walked by them, and they'd have little conversations or they'd walk by the computer. And that was really, really important in the first 5 years of your life. Now, when they ask the average manager how many times they speak to their employee, the average answer is zero, because I'm talking about one-on-ones. They say, oh, we have a few Teams meetings with 8 people, but they're not having those one-on-one conversations. So the attachment is almost less with the organization, but they're not even feeling that attachment with their manager, because that's the thing that gives them their motivation, the drive and the challenge to do the job.
Now, the question of companies that started off, as you said, remote working, they never knew anything different. What sort of jobs are they?
So it started, I would say, if you were looking at the main jobs, it would probably be a technology type companies. But it's not really as much of a type of company, it's how they work. So they set up that way. And what they generally do is they will usually meet for a week, four times a year or something like that. So they actually, it's not that they never meet, but they just completely change how the dynamic is. So they understand that they need to build those relationships, because what they've worked out is, if you've worked in a company for a while, you don't actually need to forge the relationships you have with other people again and again. You have them. But the problem we have is with those weaker ties, those relationships we don't know as well, those kind of secondary contacts, they're the ones that miss out if we're not meeting. So the remote companies, they generally work best in the technology side. That's the ones that have worked best, but they can work in any other area. And there's kind of companies in Ireland called Grow Remote that are trying to get more and more organizations to move that way, because it's much more of a behavior and a kind of way of thinking shift rather than the type of company.
Now, you can understand if someone's writing software, they're given a project by the employer, they can do it anywhere. They can do it on the Dart, on the Lewis, on the intercity train, or at home. That's fine. And that kind of is, that job is challenging in itself. But there are other kind of call center type jobs, or maybe sales jobs that are based on the telephone. And they're quite isolating to be just sitting at home or in whatever space trying to do that job. Which is challenging at the very outset anyway.
Yeah, and this is where the whole thing is very tricky, because it's still very new. Even the software engineer who can easily do their coding on their own, a lot of people are arguing that the problem now is they've no idea of how that's affecting what the rest of the project is. And actually, people then feel like they're doing a job, but they don't know it, that it's connected to something much bigger. But you're dead right. There's a lot of organizations that feel if you get a call center of people in a room together, it's a lot better, because actually most people, not everybody, a lot of people say they don't really want to be a call center worker. But when they are, the best part was probably the kind of chats they had with the people beside them. And that's very, very different if somebody's sitting in their own, very isolating, very lonely, and people, that's definitely something on the rise with this. So I always say, like, employers in my, I know I always get shut down for this, employers should be allowed to ask you to go into work, but you as an employee are just as okay to say, well, I don't want to work for your organization. And over time, a balance will happen. Well, our employers need to realize, actually, we're going to have to offer this, otherwise we're not getting employees. But employees probably also have to realize, we can't have all the cards. We sometimes have to do what the employer said. If they do want us in the office some days a week, we may need to do that as well.
Yeah. What about mental health issues? People who are isolated instead of in some sort of social setup?
Yeah, well, I think that's a huge thing. Noreena Hertz wrote about this, The Lonely Century, said we've got this negative politeness culture. There's this joke that goes around that, you know, if you want to sit beside your free in the Dart, the best thing you can do is smile at everybody who walks by and pat the seat, and no one will ever sit beside you, because we almost find it weird when people interact with us. People walk around with headphones all day. We don't have those micro conversations. So when people aren't even leaving their house, they can often spend all day and not speaking to other humans. And the problem we have is the people who are the loneliest, and we've seen this, I'm kind of involved with a charity Aware, they're the people who say the least. They're not actually shouting about this. So actually, when people say, we all love working from home, there's definitely a cohort who don't really enjoy it. They actually need that connection. It's very good for their mental health to actually get out there and meet other people.
Now, have things changed since the great tech cull of last year? You know, the fact that everyone was on tenterhooks. You're going to get an email at 4 p.m. or 9 a.m. and you're going to know whether you still have a job. And the idea for the employer, if someone's remote, out of sight, out of mind, and easier to fire.
Yeah, well, I mean, there was definitely a view, everybody's have kind of realized now after the boom, the tech companies had overhired. So that was a correction and no more than that. And it wasn't a very nice correction for a lot of people. But you are 100% right. And this is where I always say to employees, if you don't build up a connection with your manager, at some stage, they are going to have to look at layoffs whenever we have a dip. And actually, there is no question that even though we might have this idea that we do everything by data, we are human, and we're much more likely, if we're choosing between two people, to pick the person who sits beside us, that we maybe support the same football team, or we have shared interests, or we meet every day, versus the person who's remote. That is not right. I'm not saying that's what we should do, but unfortunately, that whole idea of distance bias is something that is real, that the further people are away from the office, the less we remember them, the less they get picked for the more exciting projects, because there is a little bit of out of sight, out of mind.
All right, Peter, thank you very much for joining us. That's Peter Cosgrove, who is the MD of FutureWise.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.